Good evening, everybody, and anyone that might be listening to the recording or might be coming on later on, especially on the phone. It's good to have you with us, and pray and hope that your week has been a blessing. We're only nearly halfway through June 2019. Wow, it feels like yesterday I was saying January. Well, let me bring up a song. A melodious song. Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every humble heart.
Well, I know it by a different tune, but I'll go with your tune, brother. Breathe, oh breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find that perfect rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty.
Amen. Come almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Finish then thy new creation, pure and loving let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place. And we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Good to see you all online. What a blessing. And those truths are ours every single moment of the day. It's not folklore. It's reality for every Christian. Well, it's now time to have a word of prayer. And what brother or sister might like to open up for us before we open the Word of God? Please, sir, feel free to.
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for your divine protection, your love, watchful care, and guidance throughout the first part of this week. We ask that thy presence be here, in the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, and please let the atmosphere of joy and light and love and peace come upon each one of us. Speak through our dear brother and help us to have receptive hearts and quickened understanding that we might indeed grasp the gems of truth that will be shared from on high and not let a single one of them pass by unnoticed or ungathered. Thank you for thy love and for hearing and answering this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear bro. Well, we're up to Acts chapter 27, verse 12, and last week, to review what we looked at, the ship, as we know, proceeds, despite Paul's warning of injury and loss, and also, even though they knew they weren't going to get to their final destination, because they speak about wintering, because they're not going to make it. And interestingly, it was brought out, perhaps among other reasons, excuse me, entertainments might have been lacking in that particular place where Paul said, I perceive there's going to be harm and loss, but they went on. And a strong wind, precautions are taken as that strong wind, the Euroclydon, to avoid being driven aground on the sandbanks and the quicksands. And the storm batters the ship, and we got up to the point where it's nearly the 14th day or 2 weeks. And Paul exhorts all to be of good cheer, that there'll be no loss of any man's life, but of the ship, and he shares that his prayers have been answered, that he will still be brought to before Caesar, and God hath given them all that sail with thee. And so he'd been asking for their lives, and that they're not ready to go to their watery grave. He felt a special burden. I mean, it's one burden. You can see, as a person who's not a Christian, it's one burden to see someone die. And of course, no one wants to see anyone have to do that needlessly. We know we're all going to die, but for the Christian, it's like a double death. I mean, you got the immediate death, and then you got eternal death. Excuse me, eternal death, or eternal separation from the kingdom of God, which was heavily upon Paul's heart. And that's why God told him, I'm going to give all these with thee as well. And he adds that he believes God, not just that he heard it and I'm passing it on to you, but I believe God, but we must be cast upon a certain island. And so that brings us up to verse 12. I'm sure someone might have corrected me. I mean verse 27. The other 12 that means verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, or the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and found it 20 fathoms. Now, fathom is from the tip of the finger to the other tip of the finger that way. It's been recorded in English as almost 6 foot. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So they're traveling quite fast. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I wonder if that was prayer, like Jonah's fellow people when they had him in the ship. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under colour as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now that term, in verse 30, colour, I looked it up and it's Greek, prophasis, which means a pretext or appearance. So they were trying to go by and act like they're not going to do what they're going to do. And what were they going to do? They're the only ones that know necessary sneaky, absolutely, amen. And being the sailors that they are, they had the skill necessary to beach the ship and save the passengers. And here they are, they're trying to get out of there quick smart, because as sailors, this is danger, danger, even for them who are experienced. And what's interesting is that Paul was told earlier that God said to them, to him, that I've given these also that sail with thee, not that separate from thee, that sail with thee. I mean, he mentions that we must be cast upon a certain island as well, as part of prophecy, if you like. It hadn't happened yet. It's about to happen. We're in the process of it. Does anyone have any insights, any questions, comments before going on?
I like the sentence, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. It's like the ship is represented by Christ. And in order to stay with Christ, you're saved. If you leave Christ, the ship, you're gonna die.
Yeah, great point, sis. And that's the key. It's Christ, isn't it? It's not a piece of wood. It's not brick and mortar. It's not something on this earth. It's not something that can't talk, speak, walk, move, breathe. Interesting.
Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis. What a change of attitude on the soldier's part. You might recall earlier that he more believed the captain of the crew of the ship than Paul's information that he gave him as a Jewish rabbi. I guess it's not very appealing to follow the words of warning and caution. And here he ended up going with the captain of the ship, but here he doesn't even ask any questions. Paul says, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Woof, off the ropes come. You're not getting out of here, fellas. What a change on the part of the soldiers. And I wondered to myself, perhaps you've wondered yourself, how would you have acted if you had been there with Paul? And you heard, and maybe you were the captain of the ship or part of the crew that might have a hearing. How would you have reacted had a Jewish rabbi said, you know, I perceive there's going to be harm and loss if you continue on your journey? Would you have gone with that? Or would you have gone with the captain of the crew, the captain of the ship, with the sailors and what they call? Comment in the room, meat referring to food. Amen. Yes. Yes. Any kind of food. Has anyone ever thought what you might do if you were there with Paul? I wondered to myself, perhaps, you know, Paul being the evangelist he was, they no doubt would have heard something of the things that he says and others witnessed that his God was doing for him as he preached the gospel that caused him to travel into distances. In fact, had been partly the reason why he was there now, except that it was the other brethren in Jerusalem that was paramount behind why he's in the situation he's in. But God overrode that and overlooked that, and he's going to witness for God in Rome. Yeah, amen. I would like to say I would have been praying. I would hope that I would go with Paul. What's amazing here is that even if you knew nothing about Paul, they really had no reason to continue going on because they knew they weren't going to get to the destination. It was winter. It was terrible weather. And they would have gained more time just staying put when that warning came to Paul, when the impression that he shared. So it's like God makes it easy. God still makes it easy for you in realizing what you don't know and what you do know. So you've probably heard this term before. Jesus said it a number of times, but a hair of the head. What kind of deliverance does that sound like? Does it sound like a partial deliverance? A quarter? Or is it something more? Total. Exactly. Total deliverance. It's mentioned a few times in the Bible. They're very similar, like in Luke and 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel and 1 Kings. And what an encouragement, because they're already starting to believe that Paul might be onto something. He might have something that they don't have. Knowledge that they don't have imparted to them. And what an encouragement. Like, you're not going to lose an arm in the process. Interesting. And then Paul gives thanks to this God. He says, the one that provides food and the preserver of life, who he's trusting in, is going to do it even now in the ship. He gives thanks, acknowledges it. And then he sets an example that's consistent, not only thanking God, but then he eats himself. The strength, because you could all imagine they're going to need strength after not eating for such a long time. When you've got to swim, or you've got to hold on to a plank or something until you get to the land. And it's interesting, I think it's Sister Jo, she mentioned about staying with the ship, staying with Jesus. And here the ship, while it breaks apart a bit, it's about to, we can still cling to Jesus. It doesn't matter what troubles come our way. And can you imagine Paul saying this is all in calmness. You know, you got the roaring sea and it's loud and it's windy and they're wet and they're tired and they're hungry. And he says, be of good cheer. And you can only imagine that it's either one of two things, like it's either contagious and they want to be like Paul, or they want to, you know, continue the way that they had, being very doubtful, uncertain and hoping for the day, but having no real certainty of their own life, let alone eternity. Does anyone have any questions, comments, insights they'd like to share before we move on?
Well, Paul was a strong one. He had this connection with Christ, and he gave the men hope. He told them, don't leave the ship, and he gave them food, and they saw him praying to God. And he was very strong. The Holy Spirit was working through him to save them. Sorry, Elder Bob. I didn't see you had your mic off.
No, it's okay, dear sister. You started speaking before I did. I'm sort of getting a different picture here. You know, Paul is a prisoner, although he has some liberty. But he's a prisoner, so the owner of the ship isn't going to put much stock in a prisoner's sayings or positions. The soldiers that are guarding him aren't going to put much stock in Paul's understanding of marinership. But yet God has him tell them not to go out of this port because there's going to be loss. Knowing that they're not going to follow Paul's advice because he's already looked down upon. But all of that was so that as this storm comes up, Paul can then begin to lead out more, and they're going to give him more, more leeway, more, they're going to listen to him more because he was right in the beginning, and they recognize that, you know, what they should have stayed there at that port, even though it wasn't the best to winter in. So God, in the beginning, allows Paul to say something that no one really goes along with, although the soldiers gave some weight to what Paul wanted. But as it goes on, the whole ship now is looking more and more to Paul because they recognize he was right. And then Paul brings God into the picture. He says, the angel stood by me and says that there's not going to be a single loss of life because God has given me all of you because of his love for me. So here, instead of them wintering there, and the loss of a powerful witness to everyone on the ship would occur, God ruled in such a way that allowed all 276 souls to now recognize that Paul was worshiping and following and preaching a God who keeps his word and who loves them. So in the midst of disaster, you have Jesus Christ uplifted. So that's sort of the picture that I'm getting here.
Amen, brother. It's marvelous, isn't it, that you, as we're reading this, you can see God is constantly there. It's not like he's looked away for a little while. He's constantly there. He's watching his servants. And he cares for those who aren't his servants yet because he knows the devil has lied to them. He has persuaded them. They have been deceived. They've been slain with sin. They've been slain with giving in to the lie and following the murderer from the beginning. And I can't think of any better way God could have used in reaching out to fallen men than using fallen men. It would show what God will do for that person rather than get angels that know nothing of the things that go on here on earth. It's just marvelous. And as you're bringing out, Brother Bob, it only gives more glory to God, despite he didn't want them to disbelieve Paul, but the more it accentuates and more the sea's rumbling, the more things add to the experiences of the past, they're more going to recognize, well, maybe he was right all along. And this God that he says, he's pretty good. Like, he's calm, he's gentle, he talks to you during the night, well, he talked to Paul, and he wants us to eat, he doesn't want us to go without, he wants us to have strength, get ready to save our lives, not lose it. And everyone's involved in it, not just some chosen ones, because we're all chosen ones. God wants us all saved in the kingdom. So, very interesting. Does anyone have anything to add before continuing?
A Bible verse comes to mind, Jesus saying to his followers, be of good cheer. Everyone cheered up when they saw Paul speaking to God and broke bread and told him, here, eat something. It's for your health. And it always makes you feel better when you're sharing a meal with someone. And I'm sure their blood sugars all went up and they had a little more energy. But Paul not being afraid because God is his friend, I think made a big impression on all of them.
Amen. And they were in need of cheering up because, I mean, can you imagine being battered for 14 days in a row where you didn't see stars? All you heard was wind and the waves crashing against the boat. You know, we have severe storms here like hurricanes and so on that last maybe 3 days or 4 days at the most. But here's 14 days of this, tempestuous storm. They were in need of cheering up, most definitely.
It almost makes Paul look like a bit abnormal, a bit out there, a bit out of this world. But that's how God works. That's where God comes from. and he gives his servant the power, or the words, to convince others, not because he hasn't seen that vision. He has. He recognizes it. He doesn't deny it. He shares what he knows about God. He doesn't make up what he knows about God. And we see the influence upon these people. That's very true. Would someone like to read the next five verses?
And we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. That's where those sailors came in very handy. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fourth part stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves.
Wow, what a vivid picture. We have Acts of the Apostles, and they have a fantastic picture of what's going on right now. And it's Paul, and he's got his hands out helping someone. Someone can't swim, and it's very vivid. And this is where that artist no doubt gets his inspiration, reading these verses that Brother Bob just read. Isn't it marvelous? I think you're saying, Bob, over the 14 days, having that day and night and having to empty the water out of the ship. I mean, it would be constant. You'd need strength, and they weren't eating. And so, you know, an event they never forget the rest of their life. And praise the Lord, they would never forget it, because the Lord was becoming very apparent to them, whatever they understood of it. And with the help of Paul and Luke and Aristarchus and any others that were following Paul, they would have been trying to bring them and help them see that God loves them, but beyond what other religions say, a love that God's actually love, not God chooses love. God is love. The God that he serves is love. He doesn't choose it. He is it. He can't lie. He won't deny his creatures the right of life, the right of choice, the right of eternal life through his Son to be won back if we'll just give him everything we are, including our sins, to have peace. Thank you, Brother Dick. You're right. It is a gift, eternal life. I should have said to choose it, because while it's a gift, we have to decide we want to receive it. There's much misunderstanding, it would appear, in Christendom that, yes, Jesus forgives all sin. I had my brother just sending me that text, and I thought, well, yeah, he does. He does. But he can't forgive it if you don't want to give it up. How does one forgive if you're going to continue in it? It just doesn't make sense to humans. Why would it make sense to the all-powerful God to his dear son. So continuing to finish chapter 27.
And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. I wonder where they'd escape to. They were on an island next to one. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should swim, that they that which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You know, I bet the centurion was mad at those soldiers that cut that boat off. He might have liked to got to land without getting his feet wet. But the soldiers took care of that.
Amen, brother, and thank you. Yeah, it would have been convenient for it not to get wet. I'm sure most of them would have been wet, if not drenched already. But it's very interesting, you know, in verse 42, we're told, lest any of them should swim out and escape, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. And why would they be saying that? Well, the rules are, in according to Acts chapter 12 and 16, otherwise they'll have to get killed for them. So that's not something they want to face. But look at the centurion. What a changed man. How impressed he is by this servant of God, the grace of God upon him, willing to save Paul, or in other words, willing to take the risk to be killed himself, because while Brother Dick's got a point, where are they going to run to? Well, I wouldn't like to take the risk, you know what I mean? It is a risk, nevertheless, you know, even if they just drown and you can't find them, and then you don't know that. You figure, well, it could be said that they escaped, you know, they died, but they escaped. And you think, well, but here he is, the centurion says, willing to save Paul. And we could say, in light of the fact that Paul's God, and Paul understood that God wanted to save everyone, and it was because of Paul's counsel that they had taken anything to eat. They wouldn't have even eaten. And he's telling them to be of good cheer in that. That he keeps them from their purpose. Praise the Lord, they were obedient soldiers to the centurion. So he obviously was respected. And there were some that weren't respected at times, like the burning of the second temple. While it was predicted it will happen anyway, but the centurion was disregarded at times because the stubborn Jews standing for their temple in the Jerusalem city. But you have here that those who can swim go into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship, and they all escaped, all safe to land. Maybe there's a different terminology for escape. It almost sounds like maybe escaping the water. Yeah, the opposite being land. Does anyone have any thoughts, any insights? Please feel free to share.
God is really testing the faith of the people, because Paul has mentioned that everyone's is going to be saved. No one's going to lose their life. But then they said, okay, well, let's run the ship as far as we can inland so that we can make that creek. Only before they got to the creek, they hit a sandbar and the front of the ship stuck fast. But because of the violence of the waves, the back part of the ship was broken up. So now imagine the fear of all the passengers, because the ship is going down. But without the breaking up of the ship, there would have been no floating pieces of wood for those that could not swim to make it to shore. The wind obviously is blowing towards the land, so if they if they get on the pieces of the broken ship, the wind current, and of course with them, you know, kicking their feet, they'll make it to shore. But it tested their faith at every step. They thought that they'd be able to make that creek bed. But no, they weren't. They were stuck out maybe, you know, 300 feet offshore. And then the back of the ship starts breaking up, which means it's going to eventually go all the way to the front of the ship. And so they have to recognize that either Paul is worshiping a true God that's going to save them, or their life is lost. And then, you know, we're not given the description of how they got on those boards, but you can imagine them getting as close to the water as possible. And then seeing a board come floating by, they jump and grab hold of the board. But God arranged it to where the pieces of the broken ship made it exactly to where it needed to be for each person that could not swim. So here, God's in control of everything. The ship had to be broken up in order for everyone to make it to shore. But all the way along the line, their faith is tested. They thought they could make it with human planning right to the creek bed. That wouldn't work. There would be no great witness for God if that would have occurred. There would have been praise for the sailors that were able to guide the ship to the creek. So here we see a gigantic catastrophe that completely levels all of human planning so that the only one that can receive praise is God for arranging the circumstances in just such a way, bringing victory out of disaster. I mean, to me, it's amazing. What a marvelous God.
You know, I have to wonder, if the soldiers had to get their armor off, that would have sunk them in a hurry. You know, he's trying to carry a spear. He's trying to carry a sword. He's got a other defensive material on him. That would have made him heavy. He had to have a board to float on.
Isn't it amazing that there's so many lessons to be taken from this story? So many analogies. And as you're reading this and the Holy Spirit is guiding your thinking, you can just see all kinds of spiritual lessons in this story.
Amen, dear sis. I was looking at your comment in the room. I mean, Jesus said that my body is broken for you, and him representing the ship, here it is, it's broken, and it's only as they take hold of Christ that they're saved. And that's one big one. I appreciate you putting that in the room. And brethren, your comments, very interesting. You know, it made me think that it's the same for us today, where we set out plans, we give them to God, and then you've got the worldling who doesn't do that at all necessarily in any way, and yet they don't go to plan, and what are we going to do? Are we going to grow impatient? Are we going to say a hard word? It reminded me of Romans 5. You probably know it very well. At Paul's own counsel, he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Wow, he's just outlined what's going on here. But very interesting. Amen, Sister Joan.
You can imagine that after it was all over, the soldiers were taking a head count, to see if all the prisoners were there, and the shipmaster, the owner of the ship, he was taking a head count of all of his employees. And in the end, every single one of them made it to shore. I mean, that in itself is a testament to God fulfilling his promise to Paul. And what a witness to everyone there. And if they were able to count the hair of their heads, they would have seen that everyone that had a certain number of hair on the boat had the same number of hairs on the shore. But of course that would have been impossible, but impossible to count, but nothing's impossible with God.
Amen. And it makes sense why we're given the head count before this takes place. It's like, you know, if you were in the position of responsibility, you'd want to know how many is there, not what might be there. And what a joy they must have had when they get, well, we'll find out next week, chapter 28, but when not one's missing, wow, as you say, it would point out that obviously God's not halfway about what he promises. He's all the way. And then when they realize it's even better than what they thought it would be when it was just being told them that it's going to come to pass. I think Sister White says, prayer, you know, silent prayers, private prayers and public, just when you need it most fulfilled, it will come. You will experience it. But believe that you've already received it, that God will allow it to come in his perfect way and timing. Amen. Well, is there anything anyone would like to add before we open it up to a season of prayer, including any prayer requests, praise? Please feel free to share or text.
Well, many of you know that my daughter has been looking for a different job. And today she went in for the final interview with a medical director. And Cindy had been able to find her nursing hat. And also her pin, nursing pin. She had a pinning ceremony there at Loma Linda when she first graduated from nursing. And the director was very impressed that she had that hat still and the pin and was in the pinning ceremony there at Loma Linda when she graduated. She told Cindy, I will let you know tomorrow. And then she said, congratulations. So Cindy feels like she's in. And thank you, God. Everyone prayed for her. She knew it. She's appreciative. She said thank you to everyone. And this may be a little premature, but I'm feeling very hopeful at this point, and so is she. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers.
Amen. That's wonderful. Well, let's open it to a season of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you very much for the privilege of having brothers and sisters to share what you're revealing to them, how your word is impressing them, that we can all receive all that heaven's got to give to each and every one of us by having sweet fellowship. We appreciate these precious times, especially the fact that we enjoy religious liberty to a great extent still, and pray to be ever mindful of this in light of the work ahead of us, this large work that can only be accomplished by divine grace, because it's the divine plan. And just like Paul, all of us can know we can make our final destination and have fought the good fight and to be able to have the crown of life to be given us if we're faithful to the end. Thank you that if is all about, is all up to us, and all we have to do is give our will to you, all that we are and have, including our sins. and you'll continue reforming us, continue reviving us. This is so wonderful. I pray none of us, we will continue to share this with others and won't keep it to ourselves, the joy of knowing our Savior, whether it's in a simple circumstance of life, of going to work, seemingly mundane, an ordinary day, or when it's very tempestuous around us, or very tempting, I should say, to speak unadvisedly or to act. And especially, God, continue to put a guard on our mind to recognize what are we thinking? Where is one thought going to the other? And why are we having those thoughts? What is the source of those thoughts? To ever resist in the grace that we are promised through Jesus, because Jesus, you are a victor over sin, and we know that you won't fail us if we're in you, if your word's abiding in us and we in you. We shall ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us, because it will be of your unctioning by the Holy Spirit. We uphold dear Cindy. So glad Sister Cindy could get further insight and understanding what's going on in regards to the future work for herself. And thank you so much for the encouragement that she's had, and pray that should it go a different way, that she will not be, she'll not give up, but know that there's an even better place, and if this is the best place, that it will come to pass, and she'll have the grace to wait and hope till the end, till that should come. Help our dear brethren and sisters cope with the weather changes, to have enough water, hydration, or for the cop to be appropriately dressed, to ever be mindful of this contributing greatly to our health. Thank you so much for the good news of what our brethren and sisters continue to do in Kampala, in this evangelistic effort that continues to go on there, to share the present truth, to share it with people who don't even that the Bible is to be found, because of deception of every type, every winded doctrine. Thank you that we can know the foundation of our faith, so we can understand what is true and what is false. And we pray that we won't be tempted to yield to think that we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but rather ever having the sense of our great need of humility to live and stand before you as a Christian, as a son and daughter of God. Thank you for continuing to bless the Light Ministries YouTube channel, websites, social networks and media that our brethren and sisters are using. Especially help them never forget those that have been reached out, that they are in there, that you are speaking to them through the last message of mercy. You are speaking to them through the words of God, that there is a plan for each and every one of them. And it's a glorious plan. And it's their privilege to believe it now, not till heaven comes, but to prepare now and enjoy the preparation, that the power, the promises, the help, the encouragements that the Word of God gives us in a sin-stricken world. Especially help dear souls that have watched Present Truth material not forget what's being lodged there, and make a choice for Christ, to walk closer to him by so accepting through study and prayer the things revealed therein from the Bible and the Spirit of prophecy. Thank you so much for doing this and allowing us to meet together once again. We appreciate it and look forward to more of thee, Jesus, in our life as we accept the free gift on a regular basis. In Jesus we pray, Father. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for these stories of Job and Paul, who, even though they were in terrible circumstances, never let go of you, and so became an inspiration to others because they reflected Jesus. And especially for Jesus, who thought of others while he was going through severe agony, prayed for those that didn't even know him yet, and prayed for those who heard him. And he's our example. Help us to have that strength when we go through bad times, to not let go of Jesus, but to think of others around us and how we can help them. Because when we help others, we get help ourselves. Thank you for answering prayers. Thank you for knowing each and every one of us and how many hairs we have on our head. Thank you for caring, and give us more hope and strength to never let go of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Father in heaven, in this shared prayer today, I want to give thanks for all of the many promises you have made to us, for all of the wonderful blessings that will be ours if only we are prepared to live according to your will. But first, as always, we want to thank you for the opportunity that we have of gathering together this day in the shared fellowship, and worship that we all value so much. And thank you also for your holy word that we have been studying just now, the Acts of the Apostles, and Paul in particular, as he labored to spread your message of salvation among those early converts. I pray that you will be with us also as we each endeavor to follow Paul's example in whatever way we can, including doing our very best to live as Jesus lived and letting our lights shine forth, which I know is one of the best ways we can witness, especially to our work colleagues, our friends and our families. And talking of our families, Lord, I wish to give you very special thanks for the way in which my daughter continues to soften her heart towards me and slowly, very slowly, becomes more like the daughter I almost lost all those years ago. I also ask that you please give a special blessing to those of us, your family members, who have a particular need of your help and guidance this day. We hold these people in our hearts, dear God, but you know who they are and what they need. Thank you for listening to this humble prayer, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, and amen, and amen. Wow. It's raining here. It's very nice to have the rain on the, to be out of the rain, but not wet, but just to hear it. What a blessing it's been. I thank God that a little bit closer to getting all the audio books done, and looking forward to having those put on CD, ready to give out. So glad. I mean, you know, I was talking to Sister Lucy. I'm a bit of a dreamer. I said, you know, of all the things that we can do with the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, you can read it, you can put it in audio, but wouldn't it be good if now we can go to the next step and make a movie on it? And I said, I know that there are hundreds, possibly thousands that have already been made, but I said, but just according to the Bible, like just sticking to the Bible with the help of patriarchs and prophets and kings, Desire of Ages, Acts of the Apostles, and Great Controversy. And Lucy said, oh, it'll take, you know, what did you say, Lucy? You said something, how long it would take and how much money and how many people. I said, well, nothing's too hard for God. So I put it down as a list, you know, could be a never-never list. But it is great to know that you can to know that you're doing all that you can and then just keep going, you know, maintaining activity, what you're capable of doing. And I sure look forward to a different way of evangelism soon. At the door, hoping that they subscribe for a free magazine on free literature and multimedia. I just need, I've written down quite a few ideas, but I need more to keep up, you know, a regular printing of it. So looking forward to that, returning back onto, you know, the streets of Perth. Does anyone have any praises, any testimonies, any songs, requests they'd like to share? Please feel free.
I would like to share a small update on my relationship with my dear daughter. As you know, she's quietly been softening her heart towards me over many years. And just yesterday, she contacted me and suggested we should go out together again, locally, like we did a couple of weeks ago. It's true she'd had a big setback. She was very disappointed and she needed someone to talk to, but that's okay. What matters to me is that she chose her mum to unload on, and that was a real, real blessing. I'm getting very, very close. I see you clapping. Thank you, sisters. I'm getting very close to the point where I can contact her about the power of prayer. I've been thinking of this for such a long time, but I'm very mindful of Sister White saying you must take into account time and place, you know, and especially with my daughter. But I can tell you, I can guarantee it's coming very close, and you'll be the first to know.
Well, I thank God to hear that, Luce. When you said that over the phone the other day or in a text, I thought, wonderful. You know, two weeks? An invitation and that? I think that's just fantastic. May many more come. May many more come. And we will indeed, as Sister Michelle said, keep you in prayer. Oh, a scripture song. My scripture song for this week comes to mind. I'd like to share it with you. It's based on John 14, 1 to 3. And it goes like this. It comes from the scripture song series, 5 volumes. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believing God. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believing God. Let not your heart be troubled, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believing God. Let not your heart be troubled, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believing God. Let not your heart be troubled, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God. And that's for all of us, not just the disciples, but those who should believe on their word and their testimony. Thank the Lord what he did through them. I look at their examples and their experiences, and I think they were new men. They weren't afraid to share their failings with one another. They weren't afraid to proclaim their sailings to everyone and their experiences with Jesus. Just marvelous. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I trod. Now, Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms. Of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
My only hope, my only plea, now I'm coming home, that Jesus died and died for me. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
Now I'm coming home, that Jesus died and died for me. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to home. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
I need his cleansing blood, I know. Now I'm coming home, all washed me whiter than the snow. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
Praise the Lord, we have a home.
Amen. Praise the Lord, we've got a home to go to. And spiritually speaking, it's right now. That kingdom that Jesus came to set up in our hearts. His own throne, his own character. No comments in the room brings out that no more sin, no more tinnitus, eye failure or anything else that makes us sick. And what a joy is revealed here. You know, Paul, in the reading we've just been reading, he's sick all through this in the book of Acts of the Apostles. He's sick through all this, and yet you wouldn't know it. You would think that he was one of the healthiest. There, we're not told what the sickness is, but he's possibly sick in his 60s or possibly older. But all over, it is clear that the grace of God, what ailments we have, God can still get the glory with them, with or without them. Is there anything anyone would like to share before we finish tonight and ask Brother Dick to finish us off? Is there anything anyone would like to share further? Please feel free and look forward to hearing you too, Brother Dick.
If looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the dark cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on